We have two scripture readings this morning. The first one is going to be in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. And then the second reading is going to be jumping over to John chapter 6, where Jesus, as he's having a discussion with his disciples and some of the Jews, picks up on some of the themes that are in Exodus chapter 16. So we'll take a look at both of those today. I want to thank Mark for that excellent reflection for us on grace and mercy. And, you know, last week, of course, talking from Philippians chapter 4 about anxiety, and Paul advocated that we think about praiseworthy things, honorable things, and so on. If we spent more time thinking about God's grace and mercy given freely to us, and less time thinking about the cares of the world and so on, I just know that we would find a better perspective for facing our lives. Because when we allow ourselves to have the things of God come into our hearts and our minds, and they take hold there, and they become the things that we reflect on and think about and try to live out, we will never go wrong doing that. And so I'd like to encourage us to think about those things, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Think about these things. And so let's do that this morning. Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 2. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of God appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" John chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 35 through 41, and then verses 60 through 69. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Verse 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying, and who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. And so Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have, and I pray, God, that we would see in these two passages that we read this morning, the clear contrast between our grumbling and your grace. Father, it's so easy for us in our daily lives to become tempted to look at what we don't have and to compare ourselves to others and to grumble and complain about what we want or what we'd like that we don't have. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to see this morning that despite that grumbling, that you still provide grace. You provide care. You give us your words. You teach us. You lead us. You guide us. You do all of this, Father, in spite of us at times. And so I pray, God, this morning that as each of us examines our lives and perhaps, Lord, we find ourselves in a wilderness at this time, we find ourselves grumbling at this time, I pray, God, that you would help us to focus on your grace, on your provision, and on your care. We see clearly, God, that all these things were given to us through Jesus, through the gospel, and we offer this prayer in that name that saves us, Jesus. Amen. We grumble and complain about many things. And I was thinking about myself just this past week. I was in a Starbucks getting some coffee, and the coffee came out, and it was a little stale. And I was drinking it, and I realized this is probably nothing that anybody else would find a reason to complain about. But because of the way I am involving coffee, I found it to be a little bit stale, and I was upset about that. I was grumbling about that. And then another time, I was watching TV, and for some reason, in the middle of the show, the coloration went off a little bit. And it didn't affect the words of the show. It didn't even affect the images of the show. I was able to continue watching everything without any interruption. It was just that something caught my eye because the colors were off for about 5 minutes. And so, of course, rather than sitting there and simply enjoying the show, I grumbled about why that stupid DVR couldn't record this thing properly. And I was thinking about those things this week in particular as I looked at these passages. And I realized that in this one passage that I read from Exodus, in about 13 or 14 verses, the word grumbling occurs 8 times in that passage. It's repeated over and over again by both God and by Moses. Whether Moses is narrating what happened, or he's actually talking to the people about what happened, or God is stating what he's seeing from the people, grumbling was a major problem. It wasn't a problem that they were hungry. That's ultimately what they were grumbling about. But it wasn't that they identified the fact that they were hungry. The problem was that they grumbled about it. And in their grumbling, they said some of the worst things that could have been said. Would that we had just died out here. Would that we had died back in Egypt. Or would that we could go back to Egypt where we had everything that we could have imagined. It was all there for us. And of course, at that moment, they forget everything that was bad about that situation. And they forget everything that caused them to cry out to the Lord in the first place, to where God came to them to rescue them. Because in their present circumstance, it was easier for them to grumble about what they didn't have that they wanted. And it was easier for them to look back at the past and think about all the great things they supposedly had back then while overlooking all the negative and bad things that caused them to cry out to God in the first place, and it was easy for them to grumble. And I began to reflect on my own week, just this past week. Not this past month, but just this past week, at all the ridiculous things I grumble about and complain about and stop looking for the provision of God and And to be quite honest, I share that story about grumbling about what was on TV because of how embarrassing it is. To think that I'm wasting my time grumbling about the colors on a TV show that are completely irrelevant to my day, let alone how I live for God. But I share that in hopes that maybe it catches your attention about your own grumbling. Just to show that it's easy for us to grumble about what we have, but we want more. More embarrassing stories. How many times have I gotten a gift from somebody and then grumbled because it wasn't exactly what I wanted? It wasn't the right shade of shirt or something. And being colorblind, I can't tell what the shades are anyway. But that's never stopped me from grumbling when I didn't think the shade was right. Or how many of us have been in a restaurant and we had good service, we had adequate service, but for some reason we went in with a chip on our shoulder and it wasn't great service, and we grumbled about it. Maybe not to the waitress, maybe just among those of us who were at the table, and we decided to take out our grumbling by leaving a really bad tip. Because we just couldn't be happy with the fact that we were there and we were together, we had to find a reason to grumble and complain about the service that we had or didn't have. How many of us grumble and complain about our jobs or our work environments? We look around and rather than looking at the fact that God provided us with a place to work, a means by which we can make money to support ourselves or our family, instead we look for the things that we can complain about and grumble about. It's not exactly the way we want it, and so we have to complain about that. I'm trying to bring these things to light to try to show us how prevalent grumbling and complaining is in our lives. For many of us, we probably don't even realize this, and I may even be included in this. I haven't thought about it long enough, but I wouldn't be surprised to find myself included in this statement that grumbling is our default response. No matter what happens to us, our first response is to find something to complain about, something to grumble about, some way to say, yeah, that was fine, but it wasn't good enough because this should have happened. And sadly, we find ourselves, sometimes even in the church, grumbling and complaining about things. We didn't like the songs we sung. We didn't like the version the scripture reader read out of. We didn't like the topic of the sermon, or we don't even like the preacher, whatever the case may be. I don't like the times of service. It's too early or it's too late or whatever it is. And we grumble and complain about these things. And when we think about churches that we've known that have had problems over times, whether it's a church that's completely fallen apart or it's a church that we know of that just struggles most of the time, almost all the time, we can look back and trace that back not to some kind of serious doctrinal dispute, but to some kind of personality conflict, where one person grumbled against another, and that person grumbled against the first, and there was just a lot of grumbling and complaining going on, and then people took sides according to whichever personality they liked best, and they butted heads, and that was it. And it's not even a real issue. It's not even a legitimate issue, but at the core of those problems are grumbling and complaining. And we realize that in many ways, we are people who grumble. We are people who complain. But I want us to think and to look at the scripture this morning and realize that even though we grumble and even though we complain, people in the Bible suffered these very same sins. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. And what I want us to realize from this passage in Exodus and then also from the similar passage in John chapter 6 is that despite our grumbling, God gives us grace so that we will know Him as the source of our life. That's ultimately going to be what this passage in Exodus is about. It doesn't matter how many times they grumbled, and God even acknowledges that. Because they're grumbling, I'm going to do this, but they will see my glory. And they will see that I am the one who gives them life. And so God answers their grumbling in a way that glorifies Himself. And He provides for them, and He cares for them, and He gives to them in such a way that they can't help but to see who He is. They're hungry. They don't have enough to eat, and they're thinking back to their life in Egypt, where everything supposedly was great. And they don't know what to do, so they just grumble and complain about what they had. They don't have any longer, so God says, that's fine.
They're going to see my glory.
They're going to see my care. They're going to see my provision. I'm going to send them meat to eat during the day, and overnight I'm going to fill the ground with manna so that they have enough to eat. And because I've already told them not to work on the Sabbath day, on the sixth day, they'll be able to collect twice as much as they need for that day, and it's not going to spoil. Because as we know, if we read on a little bit here, we find out that some folks
got what they wanted
when God provided them food, but they collected too much because they got greedy, and it spoiled on them. But God says, I want them to honor my law, but also know that I've provided for them, and so I'm going to make sure that they can collect twice as much as they need on the sixth day, so that they don't have to collect on the seventh day of rest, and it's not going to spoil on them. God cared for them. He called attention to their grumbling. 8 times again in this passage, the word grumbling is called out. We could say these are people that are known for grumbling and complaining, but God said, I'm not writing them off. I'm not disregarding them because they complained and they grumbled. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to give them everything that they need. And how did God do this? He didn't do this for the first time when he provided them manna. God is simply extending the care and provision that he already has shown to them. We think back to the very beginning of this book. They're slaves in Egypt. They're oppressed. It's unfair. It's harsh labor. They call out to God. They remember the God of their ancestors, and they call out to him in despair, and he hears them. And he comes to their aid by raising up Moses to come and lead them out of Egypt. And Moses takes them out of Egypt, but on their way out of Egypt, Pharaoh's army starts to come after them. And these people who are not organized, they barely have it together themselves. They're following Moses, they don't know where they're going, but they're trying to be obedient to God. Suddenly they have an army coming after them, and God provides for them when they come up against this roadblock of the Red Sea. How are we going to get around this when Pharaoh's army is coming after us with chariots and we're on foot? So God opens up the water so that his people can cross on dry land to safety. He rescues them. But then as they begin to see Pharaoh's army closing on them, God seals the water back up, so that Pharaoh's army suffers a terrible fate. And then God leads them. And God's with them. And God guides them. And God cares for them. And God takes care of them. And here, in the moment of one of the first tests that they have, where they really have to wonder if God is as good as he said he was, and this is why they're grumbling and complaining, they're not sure if it was a good idea for them to follow God all the way out here. Because they don't know where they are. And Egypt's looking a whole lot better. And they're upset. And what's God going to do? He gives them everything they need and more. He gives them everything they need and more. Now, why do I say and more? Because if we read later on the chapter, as I've already mentioned, some folks went out and gathered more than they needed. More than they were told to. More than what they needed for just that day. And it spoiled on them. But nobody else went without. There was enough food given by God in the midst of their grumbling and complaining so that everybody could eat and there was leftovers. So much so that it could be wasted. And despite the fact that the word grumbling is used 8 times in this passage, and in the midst of their grumbling, God gave grace to reveal himself. He provided manna. Enough for each day. And this was done according to God so that they would know that he heard their cries. And it was also done to reveal God's glory. That when God took care of his people this way, there was nothing that they could do other than step back and say, this is our God. who rescued us and now saves us. Because when you're in the wilderness, away from everything, grumbling because you recognize what you don't have that you think you need, and then it comes to you as a gift of grace, you've been provided for. And that's what God did for his people. And that's what God does for us. When we flip ahead to John chapter 6, it's a similar story. And Jesus in John chapter 6 is talking about himself as the bread of life. And he's directly recalling this story from their own history. That in the middle of grumbling and complaining in the wilderness, God provided for his people. He took care of them. They didn't have to grumble and complain. They did, but despite that, God came through for them. And he provided for them. And so in John chapter 6, Jesus is talking about himself being the bread of life. And it's a hard teaching for some of them to hear. And some of the disciples wander away because Jesus begins speaking bizarrely about whoever eats this flesh has life and whoever drinks this blood has life, and people are upset. And we notice that the Jews really still haven't learned much. Because when Jesus speaks this word about himself as the fulfillment of the bread of life, they grumble. That's verse 41. And then Jesus acknowledges later in verse 61 or 62 that they were grumbling, the disciples now, grumbling within themselves. Why is he going to talk like this? Why does he have to make it harder for himself? Why can't he just ease into this with the Jews? Why has he got to provoke them? And they're complaining and grumbling among themselves about why this is happening the way it is. But Jesus' point is simple, and he says, just as God provided for his people in the wilderness, he provides for us today by me, Jesus says. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. And Peter acknowledges the depth of what this really means when he says, when Jesus asked them, are you guys going to take off too? Because he notices that a bunch of his followers, they're now gone. Why? They didn't like what he said. They grumbled and they complained about what he was saying. And so Jesus says, are you guys going to leave too? But Peter says this, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And in Peter's declaration of faith there, we realize that in Jesus, we have the same provision for us that God gave to his people in the wilderness. When he provided for his people back then, he provides for us today in Jesus. Jesus has the words of life. He is the word of life. He's the bread of life. And as he says here, whoever comes to me, whoever eats from what I offer to them, will live forever. Because it's in Jesus that the plan of God comes to fulfillment. And it's through Jesus that we find our way to God. And it's in the words of Jesus that we hear clearly the words of God in the gospel, that through him we can, will be, and are saved. And so Peter's confession of faith is a confession of faith that we can offer too. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's the question for us to think about this morning. Is that enough for us? Is that confession of faith in Jesus, is our belief in the gospel, is our trust in God enough for us? Or do we want to grumble and complain about what we don't have that we think we should have, what we'd like that we don't have, whatever else may come up? Is that where we want to go? Or do we want to trust in the words of Jesus? In Luke chapter 22, as Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, he's talking about his body. And he says to them, this is my body. As he shares the loaf, he says, this is my body given for you. Just like what God did in Exodus, when he provided bread for his people. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. He now says in Luke 22, this is my body for you. Jesus was given for us. He is the bread of life. He is God's eternal truth. He is God's word of life and God's word of truth. Through him, God sustains us. He cares for us. He leads us. He guides us. And through and in Jesus, he has given us and will continue to give us everything we need. All we need to do is stop grumbling and complaining, turn to him in faith, and trust that confession of faith that in him are the words of eternal life. And if you're here this morning and you're hearing that gospel message, that call to come to Jesus, and you feel like taking that step, then this morning, as we know, you can repent from sin. You can be baptized into the name of Jesus, making that confession of faith, receiving the forgiveness of sins, coming into that pure sustainment that God offers each and every one of us, but only in and through his Son. So if you're here this morning and need to answer that call to seek that provision from God for eternity, then let us know what your need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.